A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall. Grand slam. Diaz.
The Cardinals Hot Stove League Show is presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Got it. A complete game. 5-0 shutout for Adam Wainwright.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby and the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show. Presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Amron. Chris Raby alongside Mike Claiborne on the program this week. Claibs, great to have you back from D.C., and we've got a lot to talk about. Maybe not the most exciting winter meetings for the Cardinals while they were in the nation's capital, but, man, they make a big splash signing Dexter Fowler, and it's been a fun last couple of days.
Well, they certainly laid the groundwork while they were in D.C., so it was fruitful, and I think that they also short of some other ends as far as players that they evaluated. And obviously with Eric Fryer back, I think he's going to be an important guy for the ball club. But the big thing is getting Dexter Fowler. And that was a guy that, heck, we've been talking about since last year. Wouldn't he be a nice addition? So you get him, and just being in that press conference, Chris, the energy that was exuded by him was something that I think really excited the people in the room, and certainly it'll excite the fans later.
Dexter's going to join us a little bit later on the program. We'll also visit with Cardinals General Manager John Mozeliak. We'll hear from Adam Wainwright, check in with Carson Kelly. John Rooney joins us in our next segment, and we'll visit with Derek Gould. All that and more coming up on this week's edition of the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Amron. Let's talk a little bit more about Fowler Claibs as we open the show up. And I give a lot of credit to the Cardinals front office for identifying what they wanted to do at the onset of the offseason, going out and getting the guy who fit all of what they wanted to accomplish. That's a lot easier said than done, especially, I think, when you identify your needs to go out there and try to fulfill what you want to do on either the free agent market or the trade market. They were able to sign Fowler and not have to go the route of the trade market and give up some assets.
You're right. And that was something that for an organization that has been so keen on retaining assets, it was important. Also this, I think the Cardinals were a team that there's a little bit of a gap between the prospect slash suspect players in the organization to the almost big league ready. So I'm not sure if they had as many legitimate chips as they maybe would have liked to have had. But also, this was almost one of those, it was almost an edict from people who followed the team that said, Dexter Fowler's the best guy for you. Now, with that said, there were other people out there that all of a sudden kind of emerged, but there was a little bit of either a price tag or a concern that maybe backed you off where you wouldn't say, well, he's going to be our number one candidate. You know, Fowler was one, and, you know, maybe Charlie Blackmon was 1A, and I think everybody else kind of fell to a 3 or 4 spot with regard to priority.
The difference is, and I never want to say it's just money, because Lord knows I will never know what $82.5 million looks like. Maybe if we win that Powerball that we picked up earlier.
Powerball is always available. There you go.
But just considering the fact that you give up a draft pick and you pay him the reported $82.5 million over the next 5 years. You look at what the White Sox got for Adam Eaton, what it would have taken to get Charlie Blackmon. Would you rather have one of those guys or Dexter Fowler plus Alex Reyes, Luke Weaver, Harrison Bader? I don't think there's any question.
Money is your most valuable asset. You can always make more of that. To go out and get another player of the ilk of a Reyes is even harder to do. So this was the best move for the Cardinals at this time. They weren't a cash-strapped organization. And I think had they elected not to go the cash route, it would have probably sent maybe a concerning message to some of the fans, considering how things have gone with them with the attendance every year. And they're obviously making good money. So it's a deal that I think everybody had to walk away from saying, okay, this is good. And when you look at the number, the number is just part of the way we do business. I mean, everybody, you know, there's so much money in the game. The numbers are staggering to some, but it's par for the course for people who look at the game and how it's being dealt with.
How about the fact that Aroldis Chapman is going to be making more than Fowler over the next 5 years? Kenley Jansen's going to be making $500,000 less per year. And those are guys who you'll see maybe 50 times a year.
Yeah, maybe. You're right.
Maybe.
But I guess the issue there is, and the San Francisco Giants will attest to it, if you don't have a guy like that, boy, it's really hard to win, especially late in the year. And when you look at how impactful closers have become, I think the next step, you're going to see setup guys that are going to start to make good money as well, because they're going to be asked to do maybe even more than a closer in getting them to a closer. So the game is changing, and how they're paying people, it won't change. They're just paying the best players at those positions what they do.
I never want to play psychologist, but off the field, you alluded to his personality. What can he bring to that clubhouse?
I think, first of all, he's got to observe what's needed. I don't think he can walk in there with pom-poms and having a marching band and going from locker to locker trying to pep guys up or, you know, speak for anybody. I think you have to assess what the clubhouse needs. But I think his personality is one where he is a guy who's always got a smile on his face, and he'll turn a negative into a positive, or at least he'll attempt to. And sometimes that can be contagious, because if players see him having fun and he's doing his job, then maybe they'll be in a position of having more comfort compared to feeling like they can't enjoy themselves like they want to.
We'll visit with Dexter Fowler coming up a little bit later on the program. General Manager John Mozeliak as well. And, you know, you alluded to all the money, and we mentioned some of the relievers. I think the Brett Cecil contract is looking better and better at what you got mm-hmm. him for that term.
Yeah.
And some of the money that's going to be scrambling as teams, like you said, don't want to be the last one to be standing at the end of musical chairs.
Yeah, and there's going to be a team, if not two.
Maybe teams that are hoping to be in the playoff
absolutely.
Race.
Absolutely. And I look at a team like Miami. There's a couple other teams that are right there on the cusp, and they need something on the back end. So now the question is, all right, they don't have any players that you can buy, so now you're going to have to make a deal. So what team has the best prospects that you can make a deal of that nature and pry someone away? And I guess what you have to do is look at the teams who don't figure to finish well. Do they have a guy in their organization you can make a deal for to move more prospects to? So I think there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing once teams decide that they're in it or they're going to stand back and prepare for the following season.
All right, that's Mike Claiborne. I'm Chris Raby. We're just getting started on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren. Coming up in our next segment, we'll visit with John Rooney. Cardinals 5 and 10 game ticket packs are on sale now and start at just $79. Get yours today at cardinals.com/holiday. We're just getting started. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. It's the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren. John Rooney joins us next right here on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
Now, back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren. Chris Raby along with Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. All right, before we do anything else and get to John Rooney, let's give away some Cardinal tickets. We'll give away a rivalry pack. New for 2017, this five-game pack features key matchups against the Cardinals' greatest rivals, the Red Sox, Royals, Giants, Mets, and of course, the Chicago Cubs. We'll take caller number 3 at 314-969-1120, and you'll get a rivalry pack of Cardinals tickets. John, how are you, man? Welcome back to the Hot Stove Show.
Well, I'm doing fine. Ready to talk a little Hot Stove baseball, and we have a little bit to talk about with all the news recently.
Well, John, you finally got your man in Dexter Fowler, and I can go back to almost 2 years ago where you really thought he would be a good fit someday in a Cardinal uniform, and it took a while for him to get here, but he's finally here. What do you like about him? Because I know you've been a real champion for him over the last couple of years.
Well, there's very little to dislike about Dexter Fowler. He gets on base, he sets the table, and I think he's been able to do a little better job of that in recent years than earlier in his career. And when he got on earlier in his career, he was a real base stealer. Not that he can't steal one now, because that's a possibility. But he hits for some power. We've seen a little bit of everything. Fowler against the Cardinals while playing for Colorado and certainly most recently with the Cubs. But I like him patrolling the outfield, playing a little bit deeper in center field. It seemed to help him last year. It's a smaller center field at Wrigley Field for half the games than we have at Busch Stadium. But I don't have any problem with him playing in between Piscotty and Wright and Grichuk and Luckfield.
John, do you see some similarities to Matt Carpenter in the way they go about an at-bat? And what kind of weapon can that be for a team, guys that are able to really, really work counts and get on base at the clips that those two guys have been able to at the top of orders?
Well, that's a similarity for sure, but Fowler can do it from both sides of the plate. And being a switch batter, a guy who has probably a little more pop left-handed than right-handed, but still, he drives the ball. Extra base hits are always a possibility with him. And he does work the count to his favor where he can get a pitch to try to do something with. And that's why they're paying him the big bucks, because he can deliver. But I also like his personality. I like the way he stays loose, and certainly the experience of winning last year, coming over to the Cardinals, where many of these players on the roster have won in the past, and they look to contend for a World Series championship. He'll fit right into that mix.
John, another acquisition that was announced earlier this week was that of Eric Fryer, who's coming back. And I think he caught a lot of eyes, certainly in spring training. He got off to a great start. But more importantly, I think he gives the Cardinals legitimate depth as far as defense behind the plate and being able to handle a pitching staff. He may not play a lot, but when he does play, he may be as prepared as anybody on the field.
You're right, Claves, and the pitching staff was quite comfortable throwing to him. And he threw runners out. That was the thing, that when Yadier Molina's out of the lineup in the past, teams have been running crazy against the Cardinals. But when Fryer was back there, he was able to help control the running game to a point. And the pitchers need to do a little bit better job of holding runners on as well to help whoever's behind the plate for the Cardinals. But we really like Fryer, and it was a shame that they had to cut him loose or let him go on the waiver wire, because Brian Peña wasn't ready to return. We found that out after he was out there for a couple of games and had to go back on the DL. In the meantime, the Pittsburgh Pirates were able to benefit from Fryer's services because Cervelli was out with an injury. But I'm glad to see him back, because he'll contend for that backup spot to Yadier Molina. And then certainly Carson Kelly down the road. They're looking to him to be the catcher of the future for the Cardinals. And he needs to play every day, at least for half a year down in Memphis, I think.
Yeah, we're going to visit with Carson a little bit later this hour. And what a year he had last year, and what an Arizona Fall League he had. But you're able to be patient with him, John, because we see the success that he's had. But I think it's easy to forget that he was a guy coming out of high school that just converted to becoming a catcher. And he said he's learning and learning and learning each and every day. It allows the Cardinals to be a little patient with him, as excited as you are about his future.
And he didn't hit that well while playing in Jupiter, but not many do. That's a real pitcher's ballpark. Once he got out of Jupiter and moved up the ladder with the Cardinals, he started hitting the way they expected him to put the ball in play. And as you mentioned, he had a very good year last year. He was able to show up well at the end of the season for the Cardinals and then perform in the Fall League. Now, he's not that far away from being an everyday player at the big league level, but they want to make sure, though, that he continues to prep, get his work in. With Yadier Molina up here with the Cardinals, catcher's not going to see too many innings, especially early in the season. So he'll be ready to go, and that's a good thing for the Cardinals, because catching is at such a premium throughout baseball anyway.
You couldn't be more right, and I know everybody thinks, well, if we can find a guy who can hit and catch, that's going to be great. I think it's gone back to being able to be a good defender, handle a staff, and you touched on something about Fryer throwing out runners, because while we don't see as much running, don't you think now that being able to throw out the guys who do run is probably more paramount than any other time we've seen baseball?
Yeah, I think you're right, Claves. And when you consider that you go back to the Orioles when they had a guy named Andy Etcheverry. He wasn't much of a hitter, but he was a really good receiver. And the Twins had a guy named George Mitterwald, who was a good receiver and a backup there for a long time in Minnesota. He was backing up Earl Batty for a while. Those guys are valuable because they can step in. You may have to bat them eighth in the lineup in the National League or over in the American League, hit them ninth, because they'll move some runners along and they'll make some contact, but they make their money by handling a pitching staff, holding runners close, and keeping things together behind the plate. And Kelly has shown a great ability to learn fast and learn on the job. So I think the Cardinals might be in a pretty good position there, better than many teams in Major League Baseball, having a catcher like that in waiting.
John, we're going to visit with Derek Gould coming up in the next hour. We talked with Rick Hummel last week. Do want to ask you, though, about the Baseball Writers' Dinner coming up on Sunday, January 15th at the Union Station Hotel. You can buy tickets at MetroTix.com. It's going to be such an incredible night, and what a team you guys are honoring, the 50th anniversary of the 1967 World Championship team. It should be quite a night.
That's a team that beat the Boston Red Sox and Cy Young Award winner Jim Lomborg and Carl Yastrzemski, and what a team indeed. I really got interested in Cardinal baseball first off with that 64 championship team that beat the Yankees in seven games. And lo and behold, they came back, won again in 67 and had it right there, just got away from them in 68. And if Bing Devine had kept that team together, Mike Shannon has said many, many times they thought they could have won another championship, maybe two more, But they decided to break it up and go a different direction. It just didn't work out. And then it was a long dry spell until Whitey got the Cardinals in position against the Brewers in 82. But that 67 team, that was a club that pitched it, caught it, and did what it took to win. And a lot of heart and character and some great friends on that team. And we've been fortunate to have many of those Hall of Famers around helping today's players. One of the areas where we're really blessed by having Hall of Famers around the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, and the list of players that are going to be at the dinner is absolutely incredible. You can go to stlouisbbwaa.com, or you can go to metrotix.com and get your tickets. It's the Baseball Writers Dinner Sunday, January 15th at Union Station Hotel. Always a great part of winter warm-up weekend. John, great to have you for the first time on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you, sir.
That sounds good. I may have to bring my baseball along and get some autographs from that team.
That's a good. You know what? That's a good point you make, because I don't know if we'll see these guys in the same room together many more times, and that was a very special team for sure.
And you know what, Claves? I'm not a big autograph hound, but from those guys, that would mean a lot.
When we come back, we'll visit with Adam Wainwright on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Having fun on a Wednesday night in the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Cardinals 5 and 10 game ticket packs on sale now. They start at just $79. Get yours today at cardinals.com/holiday, and you'll want to get your tickets to see our next guest. Adam Wainwright joins us on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren. Waino, how's it going, man? Happy holidays, and how's the offseason going?
Merry Christmas to y'all, too. I'm doing great. Doing great. I'm enjoying this South Georgia weather. I just got back from Wisconsin, where it was about 10 degrees, and where I'm at right now, it's 78 degrees in sunny South Georgia, and I'm welcoming it right now.
Well, we're not as cold as Wisconsin, and certainly not as warm as Georgia, so I'd rather be where you're at. So that's a good thing for you. Hey, it's been a busy offseason for the Cardinals since the last game here at Busch Stadium, and give me your thoughts on A, how things finished, and what the acquisitions you think will mean to the ball club in 2017?
Oh, I think they're going to be just huge acquisitions. So, I mean, and we don't even know if we're done yet. But I like our team right now. I think we're going to pitch a lot better this year. I think Dexter helps us tremendously. Defensively, base running, on-base percentage. He's got some pop, average. He does a lot of things really well, and he's going to fit into this clubhouse great. And everybody has just talked about over and over again about how great a teammate he is. I've gotten three or four texts from guys I know that were his teammates that just said, man, you're going to love this guy. So I'm really excited about having him on. And I know Brett's going to help as well. So it's going to be fun, man. I think when you look at the way our season ended, we finished one game back, and nobody in that clubhouse thought we did any good. I think we all thought we greatly underachieved. We knew we left a lot of games out there where if we could have done the little things better each and every day, we would have won a lot more games. And so I look forward to this year. I think all our younger players have grown. They'll be a little more experienced now. They'll be a little more savvy. Our older guys, we don't have a whole lot of older guys anymore, really, but older guys have got something to prove, you know. I've myself included, and myself especially, I should say. I did not perform like I should have last year, like I could have, and like I want to, and like I'm going to this year.
You know, with that being said, Waino, we know that you got back in a little bit at the end of the year in the playoffs when you came back from the Achilles. But again, going through that, being off the entire year, is this off season different for you compared to last year? I know that you always, you know, have really, really high standards for yourself, but the fact that you didn't pitch for an entire year and threw a handful of innings, it must have been a different offseason and a challenging offseason for you last year.
Well, my arm was great last year going into the offseason, but the thing was, you know, I had so much adrenaline pumping through my body to pitch in those last few games and then to pitch in the postseason. When I got home for the offseason, my Achilles was not 100%. I mean, it just wasn't ready yet, you know, And so I wasn't able to train like I normally train. I wasn't able to do a lot of my plyometrics and explosion drills that I normally do. And, you know, your legs as a pitcher are very, very important. And no matter how many times I tried to tell myself or y'all that it wasn't an excuse, that I needed to be better. I mean, some of that's true. I needed to be better just anyways, and I should have done better. But unfortunately, the truth of the matter is it did not make it easy on me, with my Achilles the way it wasn't strong yet. My calf wasn't strong yet. My leg wasn't strong yet. And it sounds like an excuse, and I'm fine with everybody out there saying it was, and that's fine. I just look forward to going back out there and showing, you know, what a year looks like of recovery when I'm able to train like I'm able to, which I'm already doing the normal stuff that I have, you know, back in before the injury. So it's going to be fun. I look forward to the challenge.
Hey, Adam, I want to go back to Dexter Fowler for a minute. This is a guy you faced a lot in your career. How did you pitch him?
I'm not saying that. You never know, man. These Cubs.
Everything's a scouting report, right?
The Cubs and Reds pitchers might be listening right now.
I got you. All right. I'll hold you on.
I will say this, though. You can get him out just like any other big league hitter. You can get them out. You've got to make pitches. And Dexter's one of those guys that it didn't matter if it was in Colorado or at home here at Busch Stadium. He's proven on any team he's with that if you leave the ball out over the middle of the plate, he's going to hit it, and he's going to hit it hard. And when he gets something up in the air or hits it down the line, it's fun to watch him run. He runs like a deer.
Whether it's Dexter, Carpenter, Yachty, as a pitcher, what do you notice about guys who seem to get better at getting on base the longer they're in Major League Baseball? Because it's an impressive skill set to continue to improve on as your career progresses.
I think if you look at Yadier, he has he's gone through so many different Yadiers. You know, he was early in his career, he was this kind of a slap hitting. You know, he wasn't hitting for power except in 2006 in LCS, which was amazing. He was mainly a singles hitter. You know, he didn't have a lot of speed, so he hit a lot of singles to right field and line drives here and there. And then a few years back, he really became a real threat at the plate, hitting for power and average. And, you know, his weight fluctuated for a couple years there, and so he's still trying to find himself at the plate a little bit. And I think last year what you saw is a guy that his athleticism took over. And a lot of people don't understand that just because a guy doesn't run real fast doesn't mean he's not an athlete. And Yadier Molina has some of the best hand-eye coordination that anybody in the game has. A guy can turn on a ball, you know, a foot off the plate inside like Vlad Guerrero used to, and can also hit a ball, you know, off the ground almost 6 or 7 inches off the plate down the way if he's leaning out over the plate. So he has the ability to hit the ball all over the place on any pitch. And you notice it doesn't matter. That first pitch coming to him, if it's a strike, he's hitting it, and he's probably going to hit it pretty hard. So he has a great ability to put the barrel on the ball, and that takes an athlete to do that. And I think a lot of times guys, as they age, sometimes they begin to find ways to do things more efficiently. Maybe they figure out a little thing with their swing or their mechanics or something, but sometimes you just don't need to go out there and aim for the fences all the time. You don't need to rear back and throw it 100. I think you saw what Carlos Martinez was able to do last year when he sort of dialed it back a little bit and became more of a pitcher. So these other guys that they're hitting, they do the same thing.
Hey, Adam, you've had a number of years in the big leagues now, and as we're into the holiday season, do you ever have a chance to kind of reflect on how it started to where you're at now? I mean, you've had a great career, and you continue to have one. You've been blessed to be around beautiful women all your life with a wife and lovely girls. Does a holiday season bring all that out for you where you can reflect on how blessed you've become as far as being a pitcher to provide in the manner that you can?
Yeah, it does a little bit. I mean, I'm sitting in my house right now, and I'm in my game room, and I have, you know, all these beautiful jerseys on the wall from guys I've played with and admired growing up and guys I've played with that are Hall of Famers, and got Stan the Man Musial as well on there, and Tom Glavin, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Chipper Jones, Albert Pujols, and I'm looking at all these framed jerseys of people that I've encountered, got to know a little bit, played with or against, was a real treat. And, you know, then I look over and I see my – I've got a couple of my jerseys, too, the All-Star jerseys and World Series jerseys. And I just – I mean, I can't even begin the process of knowing how thankful I should be. I just know I'm really thankful, and I'm really blessed to be able to be a St. Louis Cardinal for as long as I've been. You know, these great names that I see on the wall, they played for a lot of great teams. Some of them played for the Cardinals. So a lot of these guys didn't play for the Cardinals. They played some other place that was probably awesome, too. But I just don't think that there's a better baseball atmosphere, a better place to play the game of baseball than in St. Louis as a Cardinal. And I don't want to play anywhere else. You know, I tell as many people as I can that all the time. I tell my agent that, and he tells me to hush up and stop telling everybody that in case. And I said, you know, just when it comes to it, I'm a Cardinal for life, and I don't want to go anywhere else. So I'm looking at this Christmas tree right now, and I'm feeling really blessed about the situation I've been able to be a part of, and hopefully will continue to be a part of for a long time going forward.
Yeah, and you know, from a baseball standpoint, Adam, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago the fact that you guys don't feel like you played your best baseball last year. There were struggles at home. You dealt with more injuries, but you were in it until Sunday afternoon at about 2:30 or 3 o'clock. I mean, does that put into perspective the run that you guys have had over the last decade since you've been a part of this organization at the big league level? And does it make you even hungrier going into the season?
It was and is a good run, for sure. I mean, you know, anytime you go to the NLCS four or five times in a row and have a chance to play in two or three World Series like we have since I've been there, and four since Yadier's been there, that's a pretty good stretch. Most teams would pay any amount of money that they'd sell their stadium and the rights of their team to have an opportunity to play in that many meaningful games. But for us, when we look at it, we know it could have been better, you know, and it's almost painful to think about, because in 2011 we won. 2012 we were up 3-1 against the Giants, and we really felt like we were going to go to that World Series and win the World Series, and they came back to beat us, and then they swept the Tigers, and we felt like, man, that was our World Series right there. In 2013, we went to the World Series, and we were up 2-1 and let a couple of really good opportunities slip, and we lost that World Series. So that, for in our minds, that could have been 3 straight World Series. In 2014, we had another solid team, went to the NLCS, could have had it happen, and just it didn't. We got outplayed that series. 2015, won 100 games, and then any team that's won 100 games has a chance to win the whole thing, and we just didn't get it done. So when you look at that run, yes, it was great, but I'll never stop telling myself that we can't be better. And so that's what I push myself with. That's what I push these guys with, is that as good as it is now, just imagine how much better it could be. And let's not leave anything out on the table. Let's work as hard as we possibly can so that we can bring these championships back home to this great people of St. Louis.
Adam Wainwright, we also know you work as hard as you possibly can, raising a lot of money for some great causes. Are you still alive in fantasy football? I guess it would be like the semifinals this week for Big League Impact. And know that you're selling some sunglasses, too, to raise some money for Big League Impact and Water Mission, among other great causes.
Yes. Well, I lost in the first round of the playoffs in Big League Impact. I did. The guy had a great week, and my guys didn't have a great
week. You just tip your cap, right?
It's just the way it comes down to it. You know, it really is. And I led my conference in scoring, though. I finished first place, and I had a first round. I played the fourth seed. You know, I did everything you were supposed to do, right? I mean,
Clavesy's got all this chambered for us.
Yes, I mean, it sounds like he's been in a locker room or two where he's heard this before somewhere.
Yeah, well, speaking of locker room, I beat Lance Lynn last night on Monday Night Football.
Oh, there we go.
To reach the semifinals of my clubhouse league as well. So, you know, this is no fluke here, guys. No fluke. Working on it.
Well, you got something to work for on next year, so look at it that way.
Yeah, but we are raising a lot of good money with Big League Impact. Now we're in the city championships. The people that have finished first and second in their cities are playing right now for a chance to win the entire shebang. So we're raising a lot of good money. Like you said, we're selling some sunglasses out there, some polarized sunglasses. We call them the Waynos, And a portion of those proceeds go to Big League Impact, and a portion of those proceeds go to Water Missions International. So, or Water Mission, I think they rebranded to Water Mission. So, man, any support and help y'all can give us would be great. We're trying one life at a time to rescue a lot of folks. So, any support y'all can give is great.
Yeah, you can go to solvesunglasses.com and see the Waynos right there on the homepage. Adam, we appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas to you and the family. Look forward to seeing everybody at Winter Warm-Up next month, and we'll talk again soon. Appreciate the time here on the Hot Stove League Show.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Well, one guy that Adam Wainwright spent some time around last year, Carson Kelly, he'll join us coming up next. A great gift for Cardinals fans and your family is now here. The 2017 Cardinals calendar celebrating the franchise's 125th anniversary with spectacular photography and featuring the 2017 spring training and regular season schedules. On sale now throughout the St. Louis metro area, most notably at Busch Stadium, Cardinals Clubhouse Mall Stores, QT, and area grocery stores, or by calling 345-9000. We'll talk more about the Cardinals calendar later on in the program with Steve Zesch. But coming up next, it's Carson Kelly. He joins us in the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
Now, back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Rolling right along in the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren, Chris Raby alongside Mike Claiborne, having fun on a Wednesday night. We've talked a lot about Carson Kelly. You heard us talk about him with John Rooney and what his future might hold for the Cardinals organization. We're going to visit with Carson here in just a second. The Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up, a chance to meet Carson Kelly, will be Saturday, January 14th through Monday, January 16th. Admission passes available at cardinals.com/winter-warm-up. Give the gift of Cardinals baseball this holiday season with a winter warm-up pass. Plenty warm in the Arizona Fall League. Carson Kelly, one of the Cardinals' contingency out there, having a big offseason as he gets ready for the 2017 year. I caught up with Carson from the desert.
It's been crazy, you know, just from the beginning of spring training, early February, and taking it all the way through, you know, November here. So it's been a long year, but it's been a very exciting and a great opportunity to, you know, go through the system, get my little taste in September, and then, you know, take what I've learned and bring it out to the Fall League. So overall, it's been, you know, been a lot of fun, a lot of great opportunities, and an exciting year for me.
And you've played a lot in Arizona so far, obviously had a lot of success. Did you know what the workload was going to be like going out there after beating the big leagues? Were you excited to keep playing?
I was, you know, it was, very, very unfortunate for us to, you know, in September, get all the way up and then get out by one game. And, you know, it was, you know, huge disappointment, but at the same time, you know, it was a great experience for me. And now taking that experience and bringing it to the Fall League has been very beneficial. And, you know, I'm putting myself in a good position to come in next year.
How much of a different player do you think you are arriving in Arizona for the Fall League, having to spend the time that you did with the big league club, Carson?
Well, just getting that experience to see how the day in and day out, you know, how people go about their business and the amount of, you know, focus and determination it takes. It's, you know, it was a great opportunity to see that and, you know, what I need to work on and taking all that information and putting it into, you know, this 6 weeks here in the Fall League has, you know, I keep myself to that high expectation, and then that's really helped me with my success and, you know, my mindset going into next year.
How long ago does it seem like we're all down in Jupiter, Carson? And you look at last year, all of the stops that you made. How do you even describe last year, even before getting to Arizona, from February until the season ended up the first week of October?
Oh, it's a blessing. It really is. You know, ever since I got drafted in 2012 to the St. Louis Cardinals, it's been an awesome experience these last, I mean, like 5 years, 4 or 5 years now. So, you know, every year it's gotten better, and now I actually got to live that dream of getting called up to the big leagues, and that's something that, you know, you work your whole life for, and being able to get that opportunity and experience, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So it's been an awesome year, you know.
Can you describe what it's like, Carson, to be a part of a team that although it didn't end the way you guys wanted, you were in it until literally the final few hours. You handled your business the last series of the season against Pittsburgh, and you had an opportunity to get in. What does that feel like? What's going through your mind, not just on the field, but when you're, you know, in the clubhouse before the games thinking about that?
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know, and that's what you train for. That's what you work the extra hours early in the morning, you know. That's why you're getting out there and training early, long hours, everything. You know, it all comes down to that. And you know, we came up a little bit short, but at the end of the day, you know, you look at those, you look back and see I did everything I can to this position. And also you could look back and see what you need to make adjustments to. And that's something that, you know, you can't take it for granted. And that opportunity, and, you know, it fell a little short, but now we know what we need to do and make those adjustments coming into next year.
Carson, what has been key for you offensively over the last few years?
It's been tough, you know, just being, you know, with being a catcher and the amount of focus and determination you need to have for that position. A lot of my focus early on was on catching, and the hitting kind of took a little back seat, but, you know, now I'm getting to the point where I can be able to do both, and now I'm at the point where I can make those minor adjustments pretty quickly.
Looking forward to seeing Carson Kelly here in St. Louis next month for the winter warm-up. You can see Carson maybe in spring training, looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the Cardinals fan in your life. Surprise your loved ones with the Cardinals Vacation 2 Spring Training. Packages available to fit everyone's schedule and budget. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687. We're back to wrap up hour number one of the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. Another giveaway when we come back on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Wrapping up hour number one of the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. We've talked about the Cardinals calendar. Now we're going to give one away. It's a great gift for Cardinals fans in your family, the 2017 Cardinals calendar. It celebrates the franchise's 125th anniversary with spectacular photography and featuring the 2017 spring training and regular season schedules on sale now throughout the St. Louis metro area, including Busch Stadium, Cardinals Clubhouse, Mall Stores, QT, and area grocery stores. You can also call 345-9000 or you can call 314-969-1120. And win one right now. Call number 5 at 969-1120. Thank you to John Rooney, Adam Wainwright, Carson Kelly. Coming up, we'll kick off hour number 2 with Derek Gould. We'll visit with John Mozeliak and Dexter Fowler to talk about last week's signing of the Cardinals' new center fielder. Also, our buddy Steve Zesch pops in. 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go. Chris Raby alongside Mike Claiborne. It's the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. And we're back after these messages in the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
A swing and a long drive, left center field, way back to the track, to the wall, grand slam, Diaz!
The Cardinals Hot Stove League Show is presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Got it. A complete game, 5-0 shutout for Adam Wainwright.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby and the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you on the program. And we kick off hour number 2 with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You know, it's been a fun last week or so. I can't even imagine. You're covering the winter meetings this day and age. I think that fans and fans of any club want moves to happen immediately. The Cardinals lay some groundwork, and then last Friday introduced Dexter Fowler at Busch Stadium as their new center fielder. What's the last week or two been like covering both the meetings and then one of the biggest free agent signings in quite some time for the club?
Yeah, a record for the club as far as outside the organization goes, you know, topping Mike Leake of last year and just absolutely crushing the previous record for a position player by about $30 million. So, you know, the winter meetings has changed galactically since I started covering it. I mean, the pace of it, the demands of it, you know, the number of media covering it, how Twitter influenced things, how few, I mean, look, the teams, even has changed for them. Teams used to move from room to room to room to room, and as Claiborne can attest, we saw very little of that in the last few years. A lot of the trades are discussed over the phone, via text, on email, there's no reason for front offices to leave the room sometimes. You know, agents come to them, and they don't negotiate things like, home road as far as who visits and who's sweet. So, you know, just changing times. I think you're right there with the metabolism. It's like, we do the chats now from the winter meetings, and they get a lot of attention, and there's a lot of eagerness for it. But, there's also, like, if somebody asks, well, when are they going to make a move? And I say, well, it's not in the next 5 minutes. There's like this backlash of disappointment. And I'm like, well, I'm going to take some time to do stuff. You know, they obviously had their eye on trades. They had their eye on free agents. There were a lot of different things they wanted to do, and eventually got one done.
What was interesting, Derek, is as we would sit and visit with John Mozeliak every day, we would try and find out how things are progressing, but John, as we know, he keeps it close to the vest, and I appreciate that in the long run, of being able to get the deal done. But it's also frustrating because fans, as you mentioned, they think it's supposed to happen now because, quote, these are the winter meetings, and we can't leave without someone. But for as much interest as we have in St. Louis, can you imagine, let's say, a team like Anaheim or some team that nobody even thinks about, how their winter meetings go, where, do you think they have that much interest in what they're trying to do in order to improve their team? I mean, I think everybody's got their own level of interest, and covering it is a real adventure, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think that the anxiety or eagerness or the demands of the Cardinals fan base is reflected in the other 29 places. I think there are very few places like it. I mean, Boston, to a certain extent, the Yankees, the Cubs this year, but the Cubs had a championship to kind of quell their fans, whereas that same championship only heightened the interest and the nervousness and the fingernail chewing of the Cardinals fans. So I think, they're very rare fan bases that are as engaged and as interested, and that brings its own reward. It, however, does not fit the approach of the team, which is from a beat writer's perspective, they don't talk about things, which in a lot of ways frees you to get reporting and information elsewhere. It's a good challenge. It reminds you to not just wait, for the meeting with the general manager, hold out your bowl Oliver Twist style and ask for more. You have to actually go out and, work the hallways, work the phones, do what the teams are doing, email and text and sort through, and then also, use some deductive reasoning to figure how things work. I do think it's interesting, though, like the line that has changed in most recent years, and maybe it really peaked last year, and there was a lot of fear of it also happening this year, is that, the lack of a result does not mean lack of action. People see, well, they didn't get anybody or they didn't sign anybody, and automatically they leap to inactivity. And that I know from certainly the team's perspective, but also from folks who cover the team and spend a lot of time writing about exactly the action that did not result in a deal. That can be a little bit difficult, to take. And you try to explain to folks, look, just because Jason Hayward didn't sign with the Cardinals doesn't mean that, the Cardinals didn't try. Just because David Price said, look, I can get $30 million more elsewhere, didn't mean that Mozeliak didn't fly to take David Price out to dinner in Nashville and try to woo him personally. That stuff did happen. It does count. It just, they were left at the altar, or I guess that's not the phrase. I guess they were bridesmaids again. But it did mean that there was activity.
Hey, while we visit with Derek Gould on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren, you can pick up the perfect gift for any Cardinals fan, a copy of the Post-Dispatch book, Busch Stadium, A Decade of Excellence. Relive the first 10 years of Busch Stadium, including highlights, photos, memories, and season recaps of each year. Available now in the team store and online at thepostdispatchstore.com. So the Cardinals come away with Dexter Fowler after the winter meetings. How many boxes does he check, Derek? And did we see an additional box over the course of the last few weeks, that being acquisition costs to fill the need that they identified?
Yeah. So that was the big lesson. And Mike was in there when I asked Mo about the cost of doing trades and said, did the market really spike on him? And I think you might have been there, Mike, when I asked, is it time to just start throwing money at the issue?
Yeah.
Because you know what money costs. Money's pretty obvious, but trades went nuts. And Mo said, well, I think he didn't see them as market changers, to which, I felt compelled to point out that he's involved in those conversations, whereas those of us on the periphery were just for the first time really seeing what the White Sox could get. You know, I mean, it was like the Nationals said, will you take these guys for Chris Sale? No? Okay. Will you take these guys for Adam Eaton? And, I mean, the cost of doing business with talent just went wacky. So I think that was the revelation of the winter meetings. And you're right. I mean, it did bend towards, well, you know, if you're not comfortable, if you can't stomach giving up the talent, either quantity or quality, or really in effect, quality or quantity of quality, then you have the money to spend. And when they entered the offseason, Chris, to your first point, you know, they listed all these qualities that they wanted in a new player and in an addition. And, I mean, they were reading Dexter Fowler's baseball card. I mean, there were other guys who fit part of them. There were other guys who maybe do some things better than him. Adam Eaton is an example. Ian Desmond brings some versatility and that kind of, you know, guy who maybe plays one position in 2017 and then another position come 2018. But when you look at the total package on base percentage and all those things that they were looking for, a leadoff hitter to move Matt Carpenter, they're describing Dexter Fowler, and they found a price point where Dexter Fowler said yes.
Again, you could go to stlouisbbwaa.com or MetroTix.com to get tickets for the event Sunday, January 15th at the Union Station Hotel. Derek Gould, Cardinals beat writer. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us in the Hot Stove League Show.
Always a pleasure, guys. Happy holidays.
Well, Derek talked about the anatomy of a deal. John Mozeliak joins us next. We'll talk Dexter Fowler and more on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
Now, back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
We're back on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne. We are presented by Ameren. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. We've talked a lot of Dexter Fowler today. Dexter joins us in our next segment, but we visit with the Cardinals general manager, John Mozeliak. Now, last week, after the Cardinals introduced their new center fielder, I sat down with Mo.
Congratulations. Can you kind of take a breath, take a sigh of relief after a week? I can only imagine the kind of schedule you've had and what goes into putting a deal together like this when you identified the need at the onset of the offseason.
You know, it's definitely gratifying to get this done. As I mentioned during the press conference, I'm just grateful that we have ownership support from Mr. DeWitt and the rest of the group, and certainly the effort that our whole baseball department put in to the last few weeks, especially culminating at the winter meetings. But when you ask if you can take a deep breath now, the answer is absolutely. And I think it's well-deserved for my staff because those were tireless hours. And, you know, a lot of times you don't get credit for finishing second. There's no awards for being prudent in decision-making. But, you know, so when you think about getting a player signed on the free agent market, which I do feel like our organization doesn't get much credit for that, and I recognize that we're not overly active in it, and for the most part, that's by design. We're hoping that we can develop our own players, produce them through our minor league system, and ultimately have them produce at the major league level. But this year was different. You know, we knew going into this offseason that we were going to have to be aggressive. We landed Brett Cecil earlier, and then obviously getting Dexter Fowler today was something that I think both guys will have a positive impact on this organization.
You finished fairly highly publicized second for a couple of guys last year, especially. With that being said, when you state your intention and what you want to add to your ball club at the beginning of the offseason, and it's very, very public, I'm sure it's nice to have that crystallized in front of you. You know who you're trying to get, but what are the challenges of that when everyone knows what you're trying to add to your ball club?
I think the problem lies in what would it look like if we hadn't been able to sign him? And I think, you know, trying to have some transparency and honesty or candor, if you will, early on in the off season is a slippery slope if you're not able to accomplish it. You know, when I look back at the last 8 weeks of what we've been dealing with, I haven't hidden from what our goals were, but I was certainly starting to worry about if at some point the runway was going to shrink and we'd have nowhere to go. And so for us, I'm very pleased that we are where we are. And, you know, maybe a little lesson learned that laying it out there so clearly could leave yourself open to exposure. But, you know, in the end, you know, we're all big boys in this game, and we get what's at stake. And, you know, just thrilled that I think our club is stronger today than it was yesterday.
So let's talk about that. And from a lineup standpoint, assuming that he is at or around the top of the order, wherever he ends up, what kind of a player is he in your lineup, and what does his skill set immediately provide to your lineup that you haven't had?
Well, I don't know if it's not that we haven't had it, but he's definitely a leadoff hitter. That's where we see him. Definitely feel like Carpenter did a great job on that, but moving Carpenter down, I think, is only going to create more offense for us. More importantly, when you have two guys at the top of your lineup, whether Carpenter's hitting second or third, you're ultimately going to have a compounding effect on the starting pitcher or pitchers. And so ultimately we felt like this was a very positive for the lineup. One of the things that we set out to do was look at how to score runs. How could we do that without just simply hitting the home run? We feel like adding Fowler to our lineup has that first to third element. We feel like getting Colton Wong in that lineup every day. And when you look at the outfield overall, when you go Piscotty, Fowler, Grichuk, all of a sudden you see the athleticism. And so, you know, that was what we were hoping to accomplish, and I feel we did.
Are there similarities between Dexter and Carp in that they both seem to be getting better as their career progresses at getting on base and making things happen for the rest of the lineup? And how special is that in a player? Because it's not something that we necessarily see all the time.
Well, I think that's an interesting observation and one I would agree with. Obviously, they both did it differently. Carp was a college player, senior sign, and as he was working his way through the minor leagues, ultimately got a chance to play at the big leagues as an older player. Dex, on the other hand, has been around a little bit, signed out of high school, worked his way up through the system, learned how to switch hit as a minor league player. But I think when you look at his evolution as a player, it's really been the last 3 years. And I think the biggest thing for him is understanding the strike zone and what that means. Swing at strikes, don't swing at balls. And that's what he does. And he makes himself a very difficult hitter to pitch to. And that's his strength. I think we both agree that's exactly what Carp does. And when both guys are going, it's going to be a very positive thing for our lineup. And it was funny how we mentioned that the Cubs thought of him as you go, we go. And I've always said that about Carp. As Carp goes, we go. And so, you know, ultimately having two of them will be a positive.
How about defensively? And starting his career in a challenging place to play, playing the last couple of years in a challenging place to play defensively at Wrigley Field. What have you seen from him as a defender? Because, again, similar to his offensive traits, he seems to be getting better and better and better defensively.
Well, I think athleticism is key here, but I also think placement is key. So, you know, where you put your defenders is important. I think we do a very good job at helping our coaching staff align where players need to be, and that'll continue. But I definitely have confidence in David Bell, Chris Maloney, and now even somebody like a Mike Schilt will be a valuable key to that success. The other thing is you named the places that were difficult for him to play. You forgot Houston, which was not an easy outfield either. And so
that damn hill in center field.
I think that's been taken out, though.
Yeah.
But
still had it, though. Yeah.
Oh, back then, yeah. Yes. And I think, you know, navigating all of that is going to make Bush seem a nice place to call home.
Well, and how about the effect on the guys next to him? Because Grichuk moving to left, Piscotty's been, I think most people would say, a very pleasant surprise, if not better than that in right. It's, you know, two-plus defenders next to him, right?
Absolutely. I that's what I believe, and I think that's what we're going to get to see.
We're talking with John Mozeliak and the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren. Cardinals 5-10 game ticket packs on sale now. They start at just $79. Get yours today at cardinals.com/holiday. How about the personality? And when you first met him, he's like that all the time, it seems like. And I know we've talked to people everyone has heard from people in Chicago. Just an enthusiasm, a passion. What you see really seems to be what you get. He's always got that smile on his face, John.
Well, that's right. And he, when you talk about personality, you know, one of the things that can get overblown is like character, what it means to how it's going to affect the clubhouse. But he's very genuine. I mean, he is one of those guys that when you watch him smile, it's infectious. He's going to make you smile. After spending some time with him over the last few days and talking to him, you realize that it's completely sincere. He's someone that really does care about other people. He wants to make other people better. But more importantly, he's not going to be someone that's so rah-rah you're going to be annoyed with him. Baseball's a long season. It's amazing how 25 men can remain buddies throughout a 162-game season, which is typically over 187 days, and it's a long time to be together. So having someone that can put a smile on your face, having someone that can make the mood a little lighter when things are tense is going to be a great thing. And I think we all got to watch it, what he did and his impact with the Cubs. And so clearly having him be able to do that for the Cardinals, I think, will be a very positive force.
So you look at your club right now, and from top to bottom, I know that you give up the pick to sign him, as you were the beneficiary of that with a couple of guys that you lost last year. But can you kind of explain where you feel you are right now with adding this piece and all the traits we've talked about without needing to take anything away from what you have throughout the organization, either at the major or the minor league level right now?
So simply put, there's really two ways to look at the trade market and the free agent market. And it's simply, what's the acquisition cost, right? You can think about there's cash on the free agent market and then the human capital, if you will, to acquire the trade market. And so for us, we were just going doing our own math and looking at it and understanding what we thought was going to be a steeper cost to the organization. And ultimately, we felt like signing Dexter made the most sense for us, regardless of cost at the moment. So like, he was the player that we most wanted. But we still had to go through the exercise of understanding what the trades look like. I think everybody would agree that over the last 4 or 5 days, what we've seen at the sort of elite level of the trade market was very steep. And for us, trading somebody like a Reyes, a Weaver, or a Bader was not something that we wanted to do, and those were the names that were being asked about all the time.
In a way, do you think the steep price for some of the guys that were moved, whether it be a position player, a pitcher, do you think that helped you guys? Did it lead you to say, this is the direction we want to go, we want to head towards the free agent market? Did you always kind of have that sentiment? I ask that because did it reaffirm the fact that you wanted to hold on to your assets when you saw the cost of doing business in that market?
I think that's a good summary. I mean, you definitely articulated it well. The types of talent that we would have had to give up to be players on that side of the position player market was not something that we really wanted to do. And ultimately, it allowed us to focus strictly on Fowler. And again, that was a cash component. And Mr. DeWitt was willing to support our decision-making on this, and so it made it a lot easier just to get it done.
You did have to give away some Diet Cokes, even if it was just to local media, though.
I think I referred to them as a soda, but yeah, okay. I did share a couple sodas with our media.
So where do we go from here, John? As you take your well-deserved deep breath, how do you look at your club right now, having accomplished what was your major goal, and do you see another opportunity to add an impact-type player? Do you think you need complementary-type players? Is it a wait and see and see how the market continues to develop over the next week or so?
I think when I address my staff this afternoon, it's going to be there's still some work to be done. I don't want to close any doors or raise expectations or confuse messaging at this point. That a lot of time left in this offseason. And you know, let's see how we can optimize that. And if there's a way to improve our club, we should explore it. But in terms of like setting out like a specific path, we were able to get the left-hand reliever we felt we needed, and we were able to sign the center fielder that we wanted, and therefore feel pretty good about where we are today.
Well, congratulations. A well-deserved breath of relief, and appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Looking forward to visiting with Dexter Fowler in our next segment. Before we do that, let's give away some more tickets. It's a rivalry pack. New for 2017, this five-game pack features key matchups against the Cardinals' greatest rivals, the Red Sox, Royals, Giants, Mets, and, of course, the Cubs. Caller 5 at 969-1120, 314-969-1120 wins a rivalry pack. Dexter Fowler, the newest Cardinal, joins us next on the Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren and the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
We're visiting with Dexter Fowler on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. If you want to see Dexter and the Cardinals in sunny Jupiter, why not?
Pick up the perfect stocking stuffer with the Cardinals fan in your life. Surprise your loved one with the Cardinals vacation to spring training. Packages available to fit everyone's schedule and budget. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687.
Well, pleasure to welcome the newest Cardinal, Dexter Fowler, to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show presented by Ameren on the San Luis Cardinals Radio Network. We're on number 25, fresh out of the introductory news conference. Dexter, welcome to St. Louis. What's it like to go through this process? And obviously, gone through it a couple times now. This year a little bit different. You're coming off a world championship as well. I can't even imagine the last month or so. Can you describe what it's been like for you?
Being in Vegas, we're unpacking. And I'm soaked in boxes. And then I get calls from my agent like, hey, these teams are ready. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now, you know, so everything's been moving fast, to say the least.
For you, you know the St. Louis Cardinals. You've been playing against them all your career. So did that give you an advantage or really kind of help narrow the choices for you, knowing the Cardinals and knowing their success?
Yeah, for sure. Playing against them, you know, for 8 years and then being able to play in this league, in the same league as them. You know, you see them often, and you see the way they go about their business, and, you know, it's awesome to be a part of.
Dexter Fowler with us on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show. What's appealing about this organization to you? What's appealing about the city of St. Louis for you, Dexter?
It's a baseball city. You know, the fans are great. Everybody that comes to the game, they obviously, like I said, at the plane, there's a lot of Cardinals fans everywhere, so they know who you are, and you know, they're privy about baseball.
For you, you're a guy that's got 8 years in the game, and you worked hard. You've had the off seasons and putting extra work in. All of a sudden, you go from being a guy that was on a good team to being a world champion, and now you hit the jackpot, something that every player aspires to be. What's that like for you right now, especially at this stage of your life? And have you had a chance to think about all those people who helped you get to this particular day?
For sure, and it's humbling. It's humbling. At the same time, you look back and it's like, why me? Why me? And then you look at the heartaches and stuff you've gone through. Obviously, the last off season, and you go back to the Cubs and you win a World Series and you're an All-Star, and it's just like, wow. You know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
We've seen all the numbers over the last few years, how much success you've had. Have you matured as a player? Have you changed as a player over the last 4 or 5 years? What's gone into that success that we've seen on the field from you, Dexter?
I think Barry was a big part. Barry Bonds was a big part. You know, just meeting him and show him how the greats do it. You know, how the greats prepare, how the greats, you know, work out, how just they go about their business. And, you know, he's helped me for 4 years now. And, I mean, you can see how my game is gone to another level.
Let's start with the foundation, your first manager, Don Baylor. And Groove is one of the toughest guys we'll ever know. How much of an impact did he have on you? Because when people ask me about you, I say that he's a pro. And I think Groove had a lot to do with that in showing you how to be a pro, especially at an early stage of your career.
Yeah, Groove was definitely instrumental. I mean, he was my hitting coach my rookie year. And, you know, he taught me, like you said, he taught me the ins and outs, you know, when I was a rookie, you know. But then you come to, you know, the other side, you know, you start getting older and you start maturing, and it's like there was no longer Groove there to help, you know, help me.
So you had to figure out some of that yourself.
I had to figure out some stuff on my own. And that, you know, all those ups and downs, it definitely made me a better player as I was maturing.
So you start switch hitting, as you told us, when you get to pro ball. How do you go about that? I mean, with all the other stuff that's going on, you're trying to figure out how to be a big leaguer. You throw that into a mix. Does it help you? Does it help you focus? What was that process like?
To go through that, I thought they were joking at first. And then, you know, they were like,
I got enough on my
plate. We want you to start switching. I was like, what? I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. And he was like, yeah, our scouting director, was Bill Gavetti, he was like, yeah, we want you to start switching. I was like, all right. You know, and then next day, I'm like, when do you want me to start? They were like, tomorrow. So the next day, I go out, we're having an inner squad, I'm facing this dude who's throwing 104 miles an hour. And
with no control, I bet.
Yeah, it was, you know, he was around the dish. He was a high A guy at the time, and Juan Murillo, and it was, you know, spotting up, and I took an 8-pitch at bat or something like that, fouling balls off, and I ended up walking. And I was like, well, good way to start it off, right? And then basically taught myself, you know, with different, obviously, hitting coaches. They're all, I didn't know it was comfortable, but it was it got frustrating for me for the simple fact that you face guys and you get out right-handed, I mean, hitting left-handed, and you're like, I could kill you right-handed right now. And that was the most frustrating part, to get over that. But fortunately, you know, my manager, they had some faith in me. So
is it, and I don't know if this is too corny, is it kind of fitting then that you lead off the World Series Game 7 the way you did?
Yeah.
Home run. Do you think about that at all? Do you reflect at certain points, whether it's in the World Series, whether it's here today in St. Louis, do you reflect about moments, and you mentioned Barry and Don Baylor, reflect about moments that have defined you as a player and as a person?
For sure. For sure. You know, guys, they always say, you know, when the World Series starts, you know, you always think about Game 7 of the World Series. And you're sitting there and you're like, I thought about that, but not hitting left-handed.
Yeah. So, home
right. And then that whole aspect of it, you know, it was crazy.
It just seems like that's kind of your personality, though. Go with the flow. We'll deal with it. We'll have some fun along the way.
For sure.
Is that the way you've always been?
I've always been like that. You know, you make adjustments when the adjustments need to be made, but... You know, let's have fun. Let's have fun, because that's going to bring out the best in people.
Now that you're a full-fledged guy that's got tenure, you got money now, you can have somebody help unpack the boxes now out in Vegas. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Or will that be a honey-do list for you?
You know what? You know what? I'm wife and I, we do that together. So, you know, we have to see what we have. We have people, some people helping us unpack, but at the same time, we have to be the ones to consolidate, because, you know, you have three places and you have three of everything. So you got to pick which one you like best and give the rest away to charity.
Well, Mike and I are taking donations as charity.
I'm thinking about redoing my place, so now I know where to start.
Hey, come on.
Hey, Dexter, it's a pleasure to have you here in St. Louis. I know we're going to have some fun, and we've talked about it, but... Opening up against the Cubs, you've been a part of this rivalry the last couple of years. It's been spirited. It's included postseason play. I think the season series over the last couple of years has been dead even.
It's almost, yeah.
And here we go. That must really fire you up. Was that part of your decision, knowing that you're a part of this team now, and for the next 5 years you're going to be going against maybe the best team in baseball and trying to be the best team in baseball?
Yeah, it's I don't think that. I think that was secondary after I signed. It was like, oh, we're playing against the boys all the time. You know, some of your boys. So, you know, like I said, they'll always be a part of my heart. We won a World Series together. But then when we get on the field, we're playing against each other. So we'll have fun doing that.
They might make you pick up dinner, though, now.
Well, you know, some of them still have to pick up dinner.
They still got some guys.
Yeah,
on
they still got some guys. They still got to pick up dinner. So.
Dexter Fowler, welcome to St. Louis. It's a pleasure to have you. We will see you at the winter warm-up soon. We'll see you down in Jupiter at spring training soon. And thrilled to have you part of the Cardinals. Thanks for joining us on the Hot Stove League Show.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you to Dexter. You can see him at the Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up Saturday, January 14th through Monday, January 16th. Admission passes on sale now at cardinals.com/winter-warm-up. Give the gift of Cardinals baseball this holiday season with a winter warm-up pass. When we come back, Steve Zesch joins us. The director of publications is next on the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren and the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
Now, back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Steve Zesch is with us this holiday season. Subscribe to Cardinals Magazine and receive 2 free tickets to a Monday through Thursday home game in 2017. Order now at 314-345-9000 or cardinals.com/magazine. Welcome back to the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. We're always presented by Ameren, and it is a pleasure to welcome to the program Steve Zesch, the Director of Publications for the Cardinals. Steve, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, fantastic, guys. Just looking forward to really ramping up the Hot Stove action.
Well, Steve, one of the things we wanted to talk to you about, and it's become a staple as far as gifts are concerned, is the Cardinals annual calendar. The 125th anniversary, and when you look at the photographs of this on this calendar, you almost wish we had a few more months in the year.
Yeah, putting it together, you wish that too, because the process of elimination sometimes gets a little difficult. But I think this calendar might be our best one yet. This one is really, really special. The anniversary obviously makes it so, but just the artwork that we see in this one, I mean, it's at the top of the list.
Steve, how do you go about not just selecting, but working on some of the photos that you've had? There are some photographs in this calendar that I know folks have probably never seen, and some of them they've definitely never seen in color.
Yeah, and that's one of the goals. You know, we wanted to make this one extra special, and so you want to try and pick photographs that capture all those high points in franchise history, and obviously 125 years, that's a lot to deal with. So you have to be pretty selective, but you don't want to just recycle things. And these photos, you know, we're used to seeing some of them, but we thought, let's give these new life, new presence by colorizing them, which is no easy process. I mean, it's incredibly painstaking and time-consuming. But when we did one of them, that photo of that Gas House Gang, and saw the result, it's like, we got to go all out on this. It just really brings these things to life, and it's like you're looking at them for the first time. I've seen these things so many times over the years, but when I looked at these, there's a real wow factor here.
There are some other bonuses inside the calendar that I think everyone can take advantage of with some of the great other items other than knowing what day of the week it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great, you know, product, but it's got the coupons in there from, you know, there's four pages of coupons, and it's got the Cardinal schedule. You know, what makes this calendar, you know, I think stand out above the rest. I think there's another one that MLB puts out that's pretty homogenized, and, you know, it's just got some Cardinal branding on it. But again, you know, I keep coming back. We want to make ours special. It's the most useful. It's got the spring schedule. It's got the regular season schedule. It's got the coupons, and it's got all this great artwork. I was talking to a lady at a store who's selling them, and she said, you know, I buy several of these things each year. And she says, I save them all the way back because of the artwork. We take the artwork out. My son has some of it framed in his bedroom. So we think it's a whole lot there for just $15. And hey, at this time of year, who couldn't use a whole lot for $15?
Yeah, it's the Cardinals 2017 calendar. You can get it right now. It is available throughout the St. Louis metro area, Busch Stadium, Cardinals Clubhouse Mall Stores, QT, area grocery stores, or call 345-9000. Steve, before we let you go, just give us a quick thought on Cardinals Magazine. I know a great holiday gift as well. Perfect time to order up the magazine for yourself or a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, exactly. You know, again, we try to do something extra special there that you can't get anywhere else. And the new issue that's coming out next week, great time to start it. You'll love Sun Hwan Oh doing the frozen custard flip at Ted Drew's on the cover. So if that doesn't catch your attention, I'm not sure you got a pulse.
Yeah, it's a great photo. And again, 345-9000. If you subscribe, you'll get two free tickets to a Monday through Thursday home game. 345-9000 if you want the calendar or the magazine. You can also go to cardinals.com/magazine. Steve Zash, Director of Publications, appreciate your time, man. Congratulations on a couple of fantastic items, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Well, thanks for sharing, guys.
Go get your magazines, get your calendars right now, and thank you to Steve Zash for joining us. Get your tickets right now as well. Cardinals 5 and 10 game ticket packs on sale now. They start at just $79. Get yours today at cardinals.com/holiday. We're back to wrap things up on this week's edition of the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, back in a moment on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Last chance to get a calendar this week, and you can win a 2017 Cardinals official calendar. Great gift for any Cardinal fan. The 2017 calendar celebrates the franchise's 125th anniversary with spectacular photography and features the 2017 spring training and regular season schedules. On sale now throughout the St. Louis metro area, most notably at Busch Stadium, Cardinals Clubhouse Mall Stores, QT, and area grocery stores, or by calling 314-345-9000. Chris Raby with you, wrapping things up on this week's edition of the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren. Thank you to all of our guests, John Mozeliak, Dexter Fowler, Adam Wainwright, Carson Kelly, John Rooney, Derek Gould, and Steve Zash. Thank you to Ben Boyd, our great executive producer, and Mike Claiborne, my great co-host. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a fun first couple of weeks. What will the next 7 days have in store for the Cardinals as the offseason continues? Hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you in a week. Chris Rabby with you. This has been the Cardinals Hot Stove League Show, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.